cream cone.
Are you glad to be here this morning? Amen. Amen. Would you rather be here than in the hospital today? I think I would. I know that. You know, I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe that. I don't believe that things happen just because they happen. And I don't believe that I'm here by accident today. I believe God has a word for you today. And so I didn't come just to share a little devotional this morning. I came because I believe that I'm on an assignment today. I believe that God has a word for somebody here today. And so excuse me if I get a little excited when I preach, because that's just who I am. I tell my friends, I pastor a church in Northern Virginia that is extremely international. The church that Kevin and I grew up in, and Becky, I grew up in a church that we didn't mind getting excited about Jesus, and in that church, God gave me a heart for the nations. And we had a missionary that was out of that church, and he still is there, John Hansen. He's a missionary to Haiti. And John and I go way, way back. But John Hansen prayed over my life one time and said, "Jeff, I see many nations. I see many nations." And I was actually a missions major in college, and God's blessed me to be able to preach the good news of Jesus in, I don't even know, I lost count, 30-something nations, and to be able to share Jesus all over this earth. So I believe I'm on an assignment this morning to bring a word. And so I tell people in our church, you know, I'm probably what you call an inside-out Oreo cookie. I'm black on the inside and I'm white on the out. So if I preach like a black man today, it's all right, okay? It's okay, because my church, if you came in my church, it's extremely international. We have people from Sierra Leone and Ghana and Cameroon and Congo and South Africa and Kenya. And we have people from the Middle East and Pakistan and India, and people from Argentina and Mexico. And you name it, we got them in there. And we have a good time together on Sunday mornings. And so I believe today that so if I get a little excited, it's just in me, okay? It's just who I am, and that's the way it comes out. So in the book of John chapter 11, we read a story. And while you're turning to the book of John, I just want to pray, because I don't want to do anything apart from the will and the purposes of God. Father, I ask you right now that you would come into this place, and God, that you would speak a word to every individual here. God, I pray it would be a word that would challenge the heart, a word today, God, that would change a life. God, a word today that would move us from one place to another. God, I pray for the hurting today. Lord, that you would bring a word of encouragement, and that when we leave this place today, we would say, it has surely been good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we give you all honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 11, we read a story of a man named Lazarus. And I believe most people in this building today are born again people, loving Jesus kind of people. And I see in the story of Lazarus, I see some different experiences that we walk through in our Christian walk, them some areas that we go through. In the book of John chapter 11, in this story of Lazarus, in verse number 1, it says, "A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha." This is the Mary who later poured expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But his disciples objected. "Rabbi," they said, "only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" And Jesus replied, There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely because they see the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I go to wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. The story goes on, and Mary and Martha meet Jesus, and they look at Jesus, and they say, Jesus, if only you had been here, our brother Lazarus wouldn't have died. If only you had been in the room, if only you had been visiting with us, if you hadn't delayed when you heard that he was sick, maybe he'd be all right today. Mary and Martha come weeping and saying, Jesus, if only you had been here. And Jesus kind of pushes everyone aside and says, hey, just show me where they laid his body. Tell me where he has been laid and where he is in the grave. And in verse 34, he says, where have you put him? And they told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, and a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. I love the King James. It says, surely he stinketh. Verse number 40, Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they rolled the stone aside, and Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they would believe that you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. And then in chapter 12, verse number 9, it says these words. When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too. For it was because of him that many people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. I see six things that I want to quickly bring your attention to this morning as we look at this story of Lazarus, because I see different stages in a Christian's life. I see in this story some different places that most of us visit during the course of our life. And I would tell you this morning, it is not God's will for us to just barely get by until one day we go see him in glory. It is God's will for our lives that we live a dynamic Christian life that is impacting those around us, that's bringing change and life everywhere that we go. He did not die on the cross just to forgive your sins. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't die to make bad people good. He died to make dead people alive. I'm going to say that again just so you get it, all right? Jesus didn't die to make bad people good. He died to make dead people alive. I once was dead in my sins, but because Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected, I now have the life of the living God on the inside of me. And the works that he did, I can now do because he is a resurrected Savior. He is within me. And greater works than he did, he said, we would do because he's going to his Father. Somebody say amen. And so he didn't die just to make me a good person. He died so that I could have his life on the inside of me. He died so that I could live a dynamic Christian life. And that goes for all of us. It goes for every single one of us. He died so that we could bring people to Jesus Christ, so that we could have a dynamic Christian life. But if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to, in verse number 3, I want you to see the first thing about Lazarus. It says, so the two sisters sent him a message telling him, your dear friend is very sick. The first place I see in your walk with Christ is that place of being a dear friend of His. All of us need to start somewhere, and all of us have to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Lazarus was a dear friend of Jesus. He loved Jesus. Jesus loved Lazarus. They were buddies. Jesus hung out at Mary and Martha's house, and whenever Jesus was in town, He would stay with Mary and Martha. They were part of His core group of inner followers and people who were the closest to Jesus. So he was dearly loved. He was a dear friend of Jesus. And I would encourage you this morning that if you have not become a friend of Jesus, everyone needs to become a friend of Jesus. And Lazarus had that opportunity in his life. He was a friend of Jesus Christ. He walked with Him. He saw the miracles. He saw the signs and wonders. And people ask me, why do you get so excited when you preach, Jeff? I believe Jesus is exciting. I believe that walking with Him, I just sometimes, we get this picture of Jesus with His little halo and His precious little face. Just that perfect, solemn little image. Can I tell you that my Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy above everybody around Him. I believe Jesus smiled a lot. I believe Jesus had life exuding out of Him. I believe that Jesus was alive and well, and I believe that He was a person of a vibrant kind of an attitude and a mindset. And so I just got to picture this. You know, you're walking through town with Jesus one day, and He comes upon a lady, and she's sobbing and weeping, and He comes upon a funeral procession. Walking with Jesus is crazy. It's fun walking with Jesus. It's dynamic walking with Jesus. So you're a friend of Jesus, and what's Jesus do? He walks into a funeral procession and just messes the whole thing up by raising the lady's son up and giving him new life. I don't think that's boring. I don't think there's a boring strand to that story. Matter of fact, I think there was celebrations and high fives going on, and wow, can you believe that? Imagine walking with Jesus, blind eyes opening, deaf ears popping open, all kinds of these signs and wonders taking place. Lazarus was a dear friend. He got to witness this stuff firsthand. And if you don't know Jesus today as your personal friend, I'll tell you, He's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. He's a friend that'll be there for you when you feel like life's falling apart and you don't know where to go. Jesus is a friend to the friendless. He's a friend for everyone here. The first thing I see, He's a friend, but even in that friendship, Lazarus becomes, first, He's a dear friend. Secondly, He gets diseased. He says in verse number 3, the Lord, your dear friend is very sick. He's diseased right now. And sometimes when you're walking with Jesus, things happen to you. I call this diseased. Issues happen. I heard this morning about some cancer and a back situation and some different things that people are walking through and heart issues. And, you know, sometimes on this journey with Jesus, you could be His best friend, but that doesn't mean you're never going to get sick. That doesn't mean you're never going to have an issue. It doesn't mean you're never going to have a problem, because walking with Jesus doesn't mean that everything's going to be wonderful. I hear some preachers today preach, yeah, if you just give your life to Jesus, He's just going to bless you. He's going to give you money. He's going to bless you and bless you and bless you. He's going to do it. You're never going to have a bad day in your life. Listen, that's not reality. When you walk with Jesus and you're a friend of Jesus, my Bible says we're going to encounter tribulation. We're going to encounter difficult times. And Lazarus, though he was a friend of Jesus, he was a dear friend, he also was a diseased man. He had issues. He had problems. But thank God, a diseased person who comes to Jesus doesn't remain a diseased person. But Lazarus's issue, it was not only diseased, but he went from diseased all the way to the point of death. Sometimes we go from the place of dear friend, and in the midst of our disease, instead of running to Jesus, we end up running to somebody else or running to some other place. And in the midst of all this, a dear friend of Jesus gets in a diseased situation and he ends up dead when Jesus was his friend. And there are people here this morning that your life with Jesus, one time you knew him, you walked with him, you were buddies with him, but disease got in there somewhere and issues of life began to happen and your faith began to drain out a little bit and your hope began to drain out a little bit. But Jesus sent me here this morning to let you know that beyond being diseased, then there comes this level of his friend died. He looks at his disciples, Jesus does, and he says, hey, Lazarus isn't just sick. He is dead. And dead to most of us means it's over. Death to most of us means it's final. Death to most of us means there's no hope, there's no future, there is nothing left. And so Mary and Martha do exactly what we would expect them to do. Jesus, Lazarus died 4 days ago. Where were you? We sent a messenger to get you, and you didn't show up with the ambulance with the doors wide open and the paramedic running in to save the day. Where were you, Jesus? Where were you, Jesus? Where were you in the midst of our trouble? Now our brother's dead and there's no hope. And Jesus looks at him and says, looks at his disciples, said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God today? Don't you believe that you're going to see the glory of God? And they're thinking, wait a second, Jesus. He's been dead for 4 days. His body's already decomposing. His body's been in that grave for 4 days. No one's ever resurrected a guy who's been dead for 4 days. Jesus, you need to have a mental evaluation here because you are not hearing right and seeing right. This guy's been dead 4 days, Jesus. And surely by now, he actually is decaying and he's dead and the relationship is over. And why don't you just go ahead and weep with everybody who's weeping, Jesus? And why don't you just go ahead and give up like the rest of us have? And Jesus says, it's good for you that he's dead. Because you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see what I can do. There are many of you who once walked with Jesus as a dear friend, and then the diseases of life, the issues of life, kind of just separated you a little bit. And then something happened in your life, and there are people who, if you got very real with you, your walk with Jesus has deadened over the years. Your walk with Jesus isn't what it used to be because disease happened, decay happened, death happened, and my walk with Jesus, yes, I still believe, but that dynamic walk with Christ has just kind of died. It's just kind of died. But can I tell you that anything that Jesus touches, he brings life. He tells us the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come to give you life. And not just life, but abundant life. When we talk about this dead thing and dead people coming to life and all this, you know, I'm reminded, so I just believe that whatever he did, Jesus said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did back then, he can do today. Whatever he did back then, he's still alive. He's still resurrected. He's still living in us. I remember my wife was 29 years of age several years ago. I'm not even going to go there. We're getting old. Hallelujah. But my wife, we were in the state of Florida, and I was an evangelist. I was traveling around the world preaching the gospel, planting churches, starting works, and doing crusades. It was just an awesome time, and I was happened to be home and not traveling at the time, and I remember my wife at 3 a.m, hearing my wife's voice, I hear this, Jeff, Jeff. And I walk out of my bedroom and I walk out of the dining room and my wife is laid on the floor and I'm thinking, what is she doing on the floor? And so I helped her up. I set her onto the couch and she said, Jeff, my chest was hurting and I was getting lightheaded and I came out to get a drink of water and I collapsed in the dining room. And I said, oh, Jesus. Something's happened. Something's not right. And so she had gotten lightheaded before. She had passed out before, and we didn't really know why. We thought it was from low blood sugar and things like that. But she had passed out on the floor, and I got her back up into the bed and did what I normally did after she had maybe passed out before or felt very weak before. You'll just sleep a little while, and you'll be okay, and everything will be all right. You'll get over it. And a few hours later, she said, Jeff, I'm still not doing too good, and my chest is hurting. I said, well, we're going to the emergency room. And we took her to the emergency room, and we're in the emergency room, and there they did all the EKGs and all the tests on her heart, and they went through all of the issues and all of the stuff. And I remember being with her in there, and the doctor says, well, we don't know what the problem is. And they said, do you still have pain in your chest? She said, well, there's some tightness there. It's not really pain right now, but it's kind of tight. And the doctor looks at my wife and says, well, what we're going to do is we're going to give you a nitroglycerin. You're going to put this tablet under your tongue. And when you do, if it is a heart problem, it's going to open up your blood vessels and you're going to start feeling better and that pain's going to go away. If there's not a problem, don't worry about it because it's not going to do anything to you. And they put half of a little tiny tablet under her tongue, and they walked out of the door in the emergency room, and they went on about their business. And I'm sitting there with my 29-year-old wife, and I'm watching the heart monitor. And then I started seeing it going. And I said, "Honey, are you okay?" And she says, "Well, I'm going." And she fell back into the bed, and the heart monitor went beep. And I heard over the loudspeaker, code blue in ER. And code blue means somebody's gone from this life to the next. And the doctors came in, and they grabbed me by the shoulders, and they threw me out of the room and said, get out of here. We got to do something here. Your wife and the nurses all gathered around me. I'm a hospital in Brooksville Hospital in Florida. And nurses gathered around me, and nurses started crying. She's so young. She's so young. And I looked at the nurses. I said, she's going to be all right. And I smiled at them, and they went, what is wrong with you? Your wife just died. I said, she's going to be fine. Don't worry about her. She's going to be all right. And they looked at me, and the nurses start crying because they think I'm psycho now. I looked at the nurses. I said, listen, my wife, God's got too many words over my wife, and she's not dying right now. It's impossible because there's some things that God said about her life that they haven't happened yet, and she's not ready to die yet. So would you all, and so I'm calming the nurses down now. I'm just calm down, ladies, calm down. It's going to be okay. And I'm telling you, it's going to be all right. And sure enough, a few minutes later, the doctors walked out and said, hey, her heart's going again. I think everything's going to be okay. And I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. It's going to be all right. But sometimes when we're on that death's door, you see, I believe that God does the impossible. I believe he does it still today. I believe that Jesus died to give us a dynamic life. And so that heart rate, and she's fine today. It's been many, many, many years, 20-some years. But, you know, God is able to do way more. And so when Jesus says, hey, calm down, Mary and Martha, you're going to see something today. I'm sitting there calming down, ladies out in the foyer going, it's okay, it's okay, she's going to be fine. And they're all crying and looking at me like I'm psycho crazy, man. I said, look, she's going to be all right. God's not done with her. But many of us, our spiritual lives have gone from being a dear friend to being diseased. Something happened and our relationship wasn't quite right. And then some of us, it's just been deadened. But then I love the fact that Jesus doesn't leave things dead. He brings divine disruptions into our lives. And so Jesus disrupts the scene of everybody weeping and says, would you just take me where they have laid his body? Would you take me to where he is? And he looks at him and he comes to the place of the tomb and he says, roll the stone aside. I love it because God takes dead things and diseased things and he disrupts them. And he says, hey, roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. He will smell terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you believed? Some of you, there's some hope in your life has died. Some of you, because of situations, there is no more hope and it's beyond hope. And Jesus tries to speak some hope to Martha and says, hey, Martha, I told you you're going to see the glory of God. I told you God still does these things. I told you that everything would be all right. But he disrupted their faithlessness and he puts in some faith. And Jesus stands at the tomb and He says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that Lazarus came forth bound head and feet. So I want you to picture Lazarus coming out of there, because they used to wrap you up and put a headdress around your head and they'd wrap you. So you got to picture Lazarus coming out of there kind of mummified. He's coming out, hopping out of the cave, and he comes out, and everybody now is looking and going, dear God, what in the world has just happened? And Lazarus is in a place at that point, and Jesus doesn't just bring life to you. He wants to bring dynamic life to you. And so Jesus comes to Lazarus, and Lazarus is right now in a place where he is defeated because he can't move. He's doing his best to get where he can, and many of you are living lives that are kind of defeated. You're bound by the grave clothes, and maybe there's life there, but you're just kind of bound up, and God wants this morning for us to begin to break free. So Jesus doesn't leave him bound. He doesn't leave him defeated. He doesn't leave him bundled up and saying, hey, somebody help me. He says, hey, take those grave clothes off of him. He is no longer dead. He's alive. Get the grave clothes. And so many in this room are in that place with God where you just feel defeated. You feel like everything I tried, I witnessed to my kids, I brought them up right, and they're just still not serving God. I did my best for my grandkids, and they're still not serving God. And you're in that place of feeling defeated, feeling like everything I try to do, nothing seems to work anymore. Jesus never leaves a person dead, defeated. He will disrupt the dead and bring victory to the defeated. And so when you see Lazarus again, I'm sure what happened in that story, I'm sure there was rejoicing in that city. I'm sure there was unbelievable types of things going on. I'm sure there was a party and a celebration. But one of the most significant scriptures that has always caused me to smile is in John chapter 12, verse number 9, because a dear friend became diseased and then died, but Jesus disrupted his death and then brought him from defeated to dynamic. Watch this in verse number 9 of chapter 12. What happened to Lazarus? We all have heard the story of Lazarus coming back to life, but what happened after he came back to life? He goes from defeated to dynamic. Watch this. When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him, but also to see Lazarus. There, by this point, Lazarus's life has gone from, he was just a dear friend of Jesus, but now people all around are coming and going, hey, we want to see Jesus, but hey, forget about Jesus right now. We want to see Lazarus. We want to see this one. We know he died. We were at the funeral. We put him in the ground. We want to see Lazarus. And now his life is impacting multitudes. A matter of fact, watch what happens here, because suddenly his life goes from just being a dear friend of Jesus to being somebody who is absolutely dynamic for Christ. It says the crowds flocked to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus. What do you do with a man who was dead 4 days and gets resurrected? The chief priests go, let's kill him. Why? So Jesus can resurrect him again? I mean, that makes me smile. That makes me laugh. We're going to kill him. Jesus will resurrect him again. How many times are we going to do this? They decide this guy is dangerous, because verse 11 says it all. It was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. Because of Lazarus, many people had deserted their ways and said, we want to follow Jesus. Lazarus went from being a dear friend to being diseased to dying. And out of death, he comes back to life. Then he's defeated. Then he's released and he becomes dynamic. This morning, there are people in this room that if you were honest, you'd feel like your spiritual life is kind of dead right now. that there you don't even feel like you're a friend of God. And God sent me here this morning to tell you that all it takes is a little bit of faith. All it takes is just one name. Just begin to call on the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, I feel defeated. I feel dead in my life. I feel like I have no hope for the future. I feel like I put my faith in you and you let me down, and I'm not the person that I should be right now, and I'm not able to do. I'm not living a dynamic Christian life. I'm not bringing the light of God to the world. I'm not seeing the people around me's lives affected. I need you, Jesus. And simply by calling on that name, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. Death comes to life. Defeated becomes dynamic. The dear friend becomes a mighty witness for God. So that even the chief priests are saying, let's kill this guy because he's so dynamic, he's changing the world. You say, well, what can I do, Pastor Jeff? You know, I'm getting elderly. Listen, you can light up your neighborhood. You can light up the people around you, your children, your grandchildren, the people that God has put into your life. He wants you to live such a dynamic life that people are finding Christ. My mother is 74 years of age right now. And my mom has determined early in her life that I'm gonna serve Jesus in a dynamic way every day of my life. I'm not getting old. I'm going to become what Jesus wants me to be. And whatever state I happen to be in, I'm gonna let God use me. My mom to this day, she calls me at least once a month. I say, Mom, what's happening? She said, Jeff, I was in the mall today. 74 years old. I met a 20-year-old girl. I said, what happened, Mom? She said, well, I met a 20-year-old girl, Jeff, and she was going through problems, and she's pregnant, and the guy has left her. And I said, Mama, did you? She said, oh, yeah, I did. She said, she met Jesus today in the mall, Jeff, and her life was changed. And she's got a history of everywhere my mom goes at 74 years of age, people come to Jesus. Because like Kevin sang, she's not ashamed. And wherever mama goes, somebody's going to hear about Jesus. She's dynamic, though she's getting older and she moves slower than she used to move. And though her body aches, and though she's had both knees replaced, and though she feels pain everywhere she goes, she says, I'm going to witness to somebody today. I'm going to live a dynamic life. You meet my mama, my mama's full of life and joy and energy, and she is making a difference at 74 years of age. And her life, she feel, you look at her, she's not just kind of, oh, I'm just going to hang on till Jesus comes or until I go by the grave. She says, I'm going to win as many people to Christ as I possibly can. Can we pray together? Father, over the next few moments, I ask you to move through this place and touch every single life. God, for the person who came here feeling totally defeated, feeling like everything they've tried has not worked, and feeling like their kids have gone astray, and they've not been the person they could be, Father, would you allow new life to fill them even this morning, Father? The one who is physically going through sickness and disease and issues, Father, right now, would you begin to heal people in this room, Lord? Would you let your healing power begin to fall in this place? God, would you bring life out of death? If you're here this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Jeff, I don't even have that dear friend relationship with Jesus. Forget the dynamic part of changing the world and lighting up my community and touching my family and all of those kinds of things. I'm not even a friend of Jesus at this point, and I need to be. I believe God sent me here for you. I believe God sent me here this morning from Ashburn, Virginia, just for you. And I believe that right now, he's knocking on your heart's door and saying, I want to come in and I want to be a friend to you. I want to walk with you and talk with you. I want to be with you, and I want to surround you and protect you and keep you. And it's as simple as saying, you know what? I determined that this day, I'm going to begin to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to make him Lord of my life, and I'm going to do it his way, and I'm going to give up doing it on my own. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Jeff, I want to have that friendship with Christ. It's as simple as this. I'm going to pray a prayer, a simple prayer. And it's not, there's nothing magic about a prayer, but there is power when we say, Jesus, I need you. And if you're here today and you feel like you're in a situation where you're a distant friend at best, but maybe you you need a relationship with Christ, I want you to just after me, just pray this prayer. And if some believers would say it with me just to help, just say, Jesus, I realize that I've messed up. I've done wrong. And today, I ask you to come into my life, change my heart, let me live for you from this day forward. I will follow you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. I give myself to you. Forgive my sins. And I will follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to pray for some people this morning. I realize the hour is getting later, but I want to just pray a blanket prayer right now over this place. If you need healing in your body today, or you need just a touch from God, or you just want to move from just being a friend to having that dynamic, alive, vibrant life in Christ, God's here right now. And it's simply a matter of us asking Him to do it. And so I'm going to ask on your behalf this morning. I'm going to ask on your behalf. Father, right now, would you allow your healing virtue to flow through every individual in this room? God, would you allow your miraculous power to invade every life? Would you allow the hand of God to straighten out that spine that's been giving issues? And God, that pain, let it go away today. Father, would you reveal yourself and show yourself strong in this place? God, for that one who feels like they're not dynamic, that they're literally just bound up and they're not able to fully express themselves in you. And God, they feel like they've been living a defeated Christian life. In the name of Jesus, I break that and say, be free from it. Take the grave clothes off. Take the grave clothes off. You are alive. You are alive. He didn't die to make bad people good. He died to make dead people come to life. And so right now, I speak life over every one of you. I speak life into your home. I speak life into your relationships. I speak life into your jobs. I speak life into every area. I speak life even on this campground, Father. I say, would you allow these individuals, God, to be a dynamic witness on this campground? Lord, there are people all around us this morning that are dying. There are Lazaruses all through this campground who don't know Christ. God, I pray as a result of this meeting today, Lord, that new dynamic of walking with you would be so real, so true, so valuable. God, that we would share it everywhere that we go. And God, that you would use these lives right here to bring you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, 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 amen. Thank you so much. If anyone after the service today would just like special prayer, I'd love to pray for some of you. I would love to do that, and I'll hang around for a little bit afterward. Brother Kevin, thank you for allowing me to be here today.
Thank you.